Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Snap back. Here comes pressure. Quinn from behind doesn't get Huntley. Throws it. And it's caught inside the five. It's Watkins the catch. Deion Bush defending. And the Ravens are going to be first and goal at the Bear 3 with 25 seconds to go and two timeouts.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Molly, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app today.
Yeah, there you go. That was a big moment in the game. That got him down to the five-yard line. And that wasn't Hollywood Brown who was out of the game. That was the ghost of Sammy Watkins. Are you kidding me? How in the name of God does that happen? I mean, that was these were effortless plays that were made. I mean, you thought the Bears scored quickly when Andy Dalton comes in and threw two passes and boom, touchdown. What the hell was that at the end of the game? With the game on the line, with the lead secured, that's what you allowed to happen? They just marched down the field and come on. It's unacceptable. No way.
Nope. Defense can't have it happen. And again, that calls out Kendall Vildor and the DBs, and they're just poor. But right now, where do you go find help? Yeah. You know, you can't this late in the year, you can't go find help unless maybe you have somebody on the practice squad that is really raw and just say, hey, screw it. I'm just going to put him in and see what he can do. I don't know. Obviously, like I said before, if Artie Burns can't get playing time, he must be doing something terrible at practice, because Kendall Vildor's game tape is not very good.
Yeah, and I mean, at some point, you've got to make a change just to make a change. It's almost it's not fair to the other guys on the field. You're seeing this happen repeatedly. And I mean, the kid is on the sideline and he's feeling awful for himself. And God bless him. He didn't look like he had any confidence left. And I would imagine that whatever feel good you started the season with, it's got to be worn out to nothing. It would almost be doing him a favor if you gave him a nice Thanksgiving off. Hey, enjoy your Turk Duncan and just kind of sleep on the couch and watch this one, son.
No, Molly, it's true, though, because I've been in rooms, special teams room, O-line rooms, offensive meeting rooms, where guys just can't get the job done, and they keep having to put them out there, and it's embarrassing for them. And they just, you stop looking at them when they get burned or make a bad play, because you start feeling bad for them, because they're your teammates, they're your friends. And then it's almost to a point, like you said, like, just get him off the field. Put the next guy in there. He can't be any worse. And if he is worse, it's still bad. So you start feeling bad for those guys. And if he's a good guy, you really start feeling bad for him. But, you know, we got lucky. Most of the guys in our locker room are good guys. You always felt bad for him. But, you know, if he's a turd, then you're like, all right, whatever. Maybe he's doing something wrong and not preparing properly. Right. And then you don't feel bad for him. But if he's a good guy and doing the right things, that's where you're – all right, maybe you just get on the bench for a little while and see if you can figure it out from there.
Let's try Mike. Mike is in Chicago Heights. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, listen, besides the vaudeville comedians such as the Grouch Brothers and the Three Stooges running the Bears management, you know who they're going to fire? The guy that's trying to give him the new radio for his headset. Besides that, what is with the secondary? Is there anybody that can come off the street and cover somebody? That was the worst play I've ever seen in football. I went to the Super Bowl in 1986, and that was fun. But that was ridiculous. Fuller, gone. Peanut Tillman, gone. All the good guys gone. What do we got now? This idiot. The idiot. He was so far away. Why? Why was he so far away?
I think you mean the Marx Brothers. I don't know about the Grouch Brothers, but careful what you call other people when you make a blunder like that. No offense. I don't know, Patrick. I mean, listen, they looked like they were in some half-hour pre-event. I don't know what it was. There was just way too much room. And far.
Yes.
First of all, the guy had run by him, and he was grabbing him. And, you know,
it looked like just a blown coverage, and that's this.
Yes.
When you are in a situation like that, that's when you've got to be on it. That's where communication's got to be over the top. And maybe that's something not having Eddie Jackson there. You know, everybody talks about he's not getting the takeaways, but maybe his voice back there helps get guys in the right spot. And as far as the headset guy, you can't fire him because his daughter used to babysit my daughter. And I love
that. Is that
guy.
Right?
Yeah. He's been there forever. He's awesome. No, it's hard to blame. I know people are going to get upset about the guy with the headset. These headsets, this is what, 2021.
Yeah.
The technology we have now, it happens all the time. Position coaches that have headsets are just screaming at those guys all the time. I feel bad for them because it's not them. It's whatever's going on with the cord, the headset, the technology. And you feel bad for him. But, yeah, his daughter used to babysit my daughter back in the day.
Oh, well, then we'll by all means, leave him alone. Yeah, those headsets, supposedly, they came in Cincinnati 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they started, they used them based on World War II equipment. It was like, you know, you would call a tank or something, and that's how they communicated. And they kept picking up, like, some sort of a taxi squad, like, literally not a taxi squad, like, people that drive cabs are playing for you, but, like, you know, we need a cab at the Fairmont. That would come into their ears, so they had to scuttle that for a while. And you would think at this point that they would have, you know, they wouldn't be running out of batteries or whatever
right.
it was that went wrong. But, you know, who knows? I mean, the NFL probably gets these things from Radio Shack. Who knows what they're, where
well,
they're
they
getting
get the, They pay for the cheapest deal, so more money in their
that's
pocket.
That's it, yeah.
They go
yeah.
to the lowest bidder.
That's what I'm
yeah.
saying. It's just,
yeah.
But it's no one's fault about it. Dave is in Munster. Hey, Dave. Did we lose Dave? Dave, are you there? It could be a headset. Could be a headset.
Could be a headset problem.
Let's try John. He's listening online in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, how y'all doing? Listen,
good.
The Pittsburgh game, they didn't pull Justin Fields out running him to either side, right or left, first two quarters. And these first two quarters, they did not pull him out to the right or left either.
Yep.
He was in the pocket
yep.
most of the first half. How did they make the same mistake after coming out of a bye that they made in Pittsburgh? This coach is a joke. He needs to be fired, man. How do you not roll him out at all? At all. I'll hang up. Thanks.
It's a great point, Pat, because as John points out, you saw at the end of the game against Pittsburgh, it was like Justin Fields was just playing. He had taken over. He was doing his thing. And you felt that way. And we talked about it in the pregame show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hope that they pick up from there. Let's hope that whatever they're – when they sit down and put their 20 plays together, they don't try to run what they want to run. They should run what he wants to run.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see any of that.
Well, let's just go to the first series. I wrote it all down here. So the first – play was a zone read. He went for 8 yards, right? I thought that was great. Get him running. He said he likes to take that hit to get you know, lathered up and ready to go. Then they came out in an I formation, then spread everybody wide, which I thought was pretty smart to see what the coverage would be. How would they, you know, not blitz or blitz or whatever. And I think he threw a completion to Jakeem Grant. And then they just ran a ball. I think they ran right to Montgomery. Then he had a nice RPO, and the throw was 29 yards to Mooney. Then they came out Wildcat, and they had that sweet little pitch play to Jakeem Grant. That little misdirection
yep.
where he had got some yards. Then they went right to the pocket. I think he threw it away. Then they had a draw, a 5-yard run by Montgomery. And then they bring in that stupid toss play. So they were moving it. Like it wasn't as bad the first series as you thought. Because that's what I wanted to write down to see, were they just going to come out from the pocket. They showed some different looks. It looked like they spent a little time during the bye week with some creative stuff. But then they went to that dumb pitch play that when you get a play like that and the guy fumbles it a couple weeks ago, that's when you just scratch off that big playlist. That BU playlist, you scratch that one off. You're like,
oh,
this
God.
One just doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's out. It doesn't work. And then they call it on third and five. And I understand it again. If the listeners didn't hear this at the beginning, the play to me, I think, is designed to work if they're in that all-out blitz look and everybody's up in the middle. And they see everybody in the middle and those A-gaps, everybody's up there. Well, then you pitch it quick. You get outside. He can maybe beat him to the pylon for the first down. Well, they weren't in that look. They were sitting in a regular defense. Patrick Queen starts moving over towards David Montgomery before the snap. That should have been called a timeout by – that's another coaching mistake in my opinion. That should have been called a timeout from the sideline because I think that's a look play. If you don't get the look, you don't call it, you don't run it, and it obviously didn't work.
Let's try Omar. Omar is in Sacramento listening online. Hey, Omar.
Good morning – or excuse me, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's time for the madness to be over. It's called insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results, nothing changing. I was doing a little research, and I see Lovie Smith had four winning seasons, 11-5, 13-3, 11-5, and 10-6. The year he was 10-6, they went to the NFC Championship game and lost, and he got fired. So we're looking at Nagy, who's supposed to be an offensive guru. The last 3 years, his offense has finished last. So it's insanity to keep thinking – if we bring him back and change the pieces, something else will happen because that's not what's happening. First they blame Trubisky. Now they're blame. Who are they going to blame next? So we just need to get rid of Nagy and get an offensive mind. At least Lovie Smith's tenure there, their defense is always in the top 10. Nagy's never been in the top 10 at all in offense, and it's just frustrating watching them get rid of game after game after game and not being prepared. So I'll get off the air. Thanks for your time. You guys have a great day. Fire Nagy.
That's not accurate about Lovie, right?
I mean,
when he was fired, he went 10-6. They didn't make the playoffs,
right.
And then that was the excuse given was, well, we said playoffs are bust, and he didn't make the playoffs, even though they won 10 games. You were there, right, Pat?
Yeah. All right. Don't get me started on Lovie. So we won the NFC Championship in 2010, right? 2011, when I talked about it in the pregame, that was when Jay Cutler broke his thumb against the Chargers, and we were rolling. We were 7-3, and our offense was rolling. To me, that was not as good a team as I've been on, but one of those teams where you know you're getting better going towards the playoffs. So that stunk. And then we did go 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs. But that, to me, is another problem that McCaskies have made or Phil Emery has made or whoever's in charge up there, trying to make the situation that's pretty darn good better. I understand that. But maybe you didn't see it properly. You need to keep growing with those guys. Maybe that's what the McCaskies feel like they've learned from, that we should not have made that change back then when we were pretty comfortable and good and we had great collaboration, that we need to keep this continuity of these people. But you do that if you've got competent people who have accomplished stuff before, and this staff really hasn't.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, they have been to the playoffs twice. One counts. There was expanded
counts,
playoffs last year. I mean, come on, who are we kidding? And they haven't won a playoff game around here since 2010. Is that right?
Yep.
It's been a very long time. Let's try our buddy John. He's in Joliet. Hey, John.
The best thing that happened at today's game as we left that stadium was people chanting "Fire Matt Nagy." This guy couldn't plan my Thanksgiving dinner or get lucky with a bunch of sailors on leave. This guy sucks. I want him fired, and I can't wait to see his ass out the door. That's all.
Thanks, John.
John still there? I would love to hear from a caller, like, how loud was it? How many fans were still there? You know, sometimes the fans already are gone. They're running out there. But how many were still in there chanting that? Because that hits home in the McCaskies' ears.
Yeah, and I mean, they were all there at the game, obviously. Yeah. They showed Virginia McCaskey kind of applauding when they got the 4th-and-11 play.
Mm-hmm.
I was told, I had a friend there, I was told that, everybody was hanging around because it was the end of the game.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of waited, right? The whole stadium was chanting that, "Fire Nagy." It was apparently, a real crescendo of noise, that guy has got kids, I don't take any joy. I'm not the coach killer, as you well know, Pat. I don't
right,
do that
no,
for a
no.
But I do think that that was just that's a terrible result. It's a terrible result last week. I understand some of the stuff with the officiating. What's the excuse now? What are we going to do to give him a pass now? Because it's five consecutive losses, yes, including coming out of a bye week each of the last 2 years when they lost six, and then they went in that dumb post-game, whatever you want to call it, and they said, oh, you know, we showed the character. A lot of teams would have, you know, would have folded the tent and gone home if anything like that had happened. My God, how do you celebrate a six-game losing streak? It's madness. And here we go again. Now we're at five.
No, you just can't. It's maddening. And, yeah, I agree with you about, you know, firing coaches. But as a player, you get into it. You understand you get booed. Yep. As a coach, you understand into it. You're going to get into it. You're going to get fired. That's the other thing. As a coach, you know you're getting fired. When I was getting towards the end of my career, they're like, are you thinking about getting into coaching? I said, maybe. And they said, well, you better buy a house on wheels. Because you're going to get fired. You're not going to be there forever. And that's just understood as coaches, assistant coaches as well. Wives know it. Kids know it. And that's just part of the program. And, I mean, it is what it is. But you love it to get into it, to be the best of the best. And you're in the NFL, and it's an amazing thing. But if you to go back and look at this game, and you were talking about excuses for this game, if they lost this game the way they did and Lamar Jackson was the quarterback, you would feel differently about this. But I think the fact – and you would say that because you don't have Akeem Hicks, you don't have Khalil Mack, you don't have Eddie Jackson, you don't have Allen Robinson. Now you take Lamar Jackson out of the equation, you've got basically a first-year quarterback, guy's thrown 11 passes, and you lose to them on your home turf, giving up a game-winning touchdown after you went down and thought you were going to win. So that flips the whole narrative. So there are no excuses. The excuse could have been it was Lamar Jackson, and that he came back and did his miracle thing at the end of the game, but there's no excuse now. There's zero excuse.
It's a great point. 312-644-6767. You're listening to the Post Game Show. It's sponsored by MalMedicChicago.com, where a full head of hair scores every time.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dalton back to throw. Pressure coming. Walks into the sack of Bauer, and that's going to call. No chance to get the ball off. Tyus Bowser makes the play. That ends it. Walked into the sack. And Andy Dalton and the Bears go down. A come-from-behind victory. In dramatic fashion by Tyler Huntley and the Baltimore Ravens, they earn their seventh win of the year. They go on the road to do it. John Harbaugh, a one-game over 500 coach on the road in his career. They win it 16-13, and the Bears suffer their fifth consecutive loss. And now a short week headed to Thanksgiving Day against the Detroit Lions.
We're back with more of the Scores Post Game Show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping Ironman Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair scores every time.
Yeah, that is the fine folks at WBBM, our sister station. Jeff Joniak on the call there. You know, Patrick, I'm just curious. Have you ever injured your ribs? Have you ever had that injury? I'm curious as to whether he can come back. and play on Thursday. If the rib injury was bad enough to keep him out of a game on Sunday, is that enough time to recover, do you believe, for Justin Fields?
I think it all depends on, the severity of the rib injury. I think if you've got a broken rib that could potentially puncture something else, you don't play. There's no way. That's too scary. So I did mine my last year preseason game in Carolina, and that's when I realized I was really old. Some guy blindsided me. I didn't see him, and I cracked two ribs, and mine were just slightly cracked. So it took me 2 weeks to come back. I guess if I had that, I could have played, or I could have possibly played. But again, it's pain tolerance for the situation that I had. Fortunately, it happened in the preseason. But I think it just really depends on the severity of how they're broken and where they're broken and what it could potentially do to you. Because I think Gronk played another week or two, right, with broken ribs, yep, and then finally couldn't do it. So I think it just all depends on where it's broken, the pain tolerance, and just all that, what potential further injury you could do for yourself.
We should all be wearing flak jackets the way life is going, but does that help? Did you have to do that when you came back?
No, I luckily had enough time that it healed up. I healed up and was fine. It was 100%, so I had 2 weeks before the first game and everything was fine. But I understand taking the hit would make a difference. But Mully, it's also sleeping, coughing, just everything. It's awful. It's really bad. It's not fun at all. It's not fun.
We mentioned that Matt Nagy now 0-3 with this loss coming off the bye, but you had some interesting information about that.
Yeah, so they were 0-3 on the so I did some Twitter research there during the break. Three of the four losses are against backup quarterbacks. That's telling. That's really sad. I mean, you as a player, you drool when you hear that week that, oh my gosh, so and so's out, Aaron Rodgers out, whoever's out. It would have been Drew Brees was out with the Saints, correct?
Yeah.
And I forgot who the quarterback was with the Broncos. And then you get Lamar Jackson. So you get
Brock Osweiler
was the quarterback
someone?
That was in there, yeah. But I forgot who the starter was that year. But that's two league MVPs. You hear they're out, you should win that game.
Yeah.
And that's just,
My God.
Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater filled in for the Saints. But yeah, it's losing three of the four games of backup quarterbacks. That's sad.
Yeah, and I think that we all understand that the Bears' defense was beaten up. But I saw a tweet on Ravens Twitter. A guy said, "Imagine if I told you in August the Ravens would win a game at Chicago without Lamar Jackson, Hollywood Brown, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Marcus Peters, Ronnie Stanley, Brandon Williams, Jimmy Smith, Parnell McPhee, Derek Wolfe." I mean, everyone's got their problems, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got their problems. You just can't let that particular player be the guy that marches downfield on you. I don't know
72
how
yards, minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. Goodness gracious. Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Angry Matt is on the south side. Angry Matt, were you angry before today?
Oh, I've been angry for a long time.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Season ticket holder. I'm in traffic on my way home from the game. I got a car full of guys coming home from this spectacular exhibit of football. We saw this regardless of who started at QB. We saw this coming a mile away, right? We are ill prepared. We keep talking about coaching. We keep talking about positions. The fact that Ryan Pace has been allowed to put us in this position, and the fact that Matt Nagy is allowed to try to maneuver the pieces to make it work, is just very telling. They're absolutely so outmatched. We went against a guy who was undrafted.
Yeah.
Right. It's shameful that we. How many points did we put up? It's that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
It's insanity that we continue to step in the same pile of muck year after year, game after game, season after season. And the McCaskies, God bless them, they have no desire or no. Nowhere, just no wherewithal to change it, to fix it. I don't know how it gets better without, you know, Pace and Nagy got to go. They do not have the skill players. They do not have the lines, both defensive and offensive, to fix this. And until they do, it's just not it's there's no hope that it gets better. And we're just going to have the same conversations over and over again.
Were you there when the Fire Nagy chant started?
Yeah, we were there, and I clapped, but I didn't join in the chant because I've been saying it for a couple of years. But again, I'm a believer that you can fire Nagy, but if you keep Pace and if you let Ted Phillips hire the next Pace, or Nagy, it does not get better. So fire Nagy, but all we're doing is delaying this exact conversation for 4 years. Tell me how it gets better. They're going to hire a guy who we're all excited about. He's got the right visor, or he's got the right haircut, or he's got the right attitude. But it's nonsense, and then we have to wait 4 years to realize it does not work again.
Molly, what's your name? I'm sorry.
Angry Matt.
Angry Matt. Okay, Angry Matt said he could see it a mile away, and that's kind of making me mad because I'm supposed to be an analyst expert or whatever, and the fans are starting to be right about this, that they see this already it's going to happen each weekend. My problem is I start putting on the tape and I start putting on my old jersey while I'm doing it, trying to figure out ways they're going to win this game. But if fans are seeing it, and they're right, this is now a 6-game losing streak and a 5-game losing streak. And you got to go back to last year. After that 6-game losing streak, they played some terrible teams. That's how they won.
Right.
That put a Band-Aid on that 6-game losing streak. And to have another 5-game losing streak again, and for Angry Matt to see it, I mean, seeing it a mile away, I'm now going to watch Detroit Lions film a little differently before our Thursday pregame. I'm really going to look at it maybe as a fan instead of as a coach trying to out-execute him and out-mix-match him well, that kind of stuff, because it is. It's continuing to happen, the same problems over and over. You come out of the first half, you get a penalty on the first play. How many times have we seen them getting penalties coming out of timeouts or quarters or things like that? Just the inexcuse of poor play calling. So it is happening over and over. Again, it's happening with the DBs. It happened 2 weeks in a row now. It's happened. Kendall Vildor keeps getting abused the whole year. Now I'm seeing it a mile away. I think I just had an epiphany that I'm actually going to watch this tape a little differently because I need to open my eyes a little bit more.
Well, I thought your call was a good one. I really did. With Lamar Jackson being out, you know, you and Olin both took the Ravens and Dan Pompey, you guys took the Bears.
Bears, yeah.
Dan Pompey, who had taken the Ravens, switched his pick. And I was going to do the same thing. And then I just stopped myself because I said, you know, I made this pick before because I didn't trust the Bears. And they got to show me something. I felt burned by thinking they could win against San Francisco after watching that game. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted them to show me. And I have no problem being wrong about it. And I was thinking that this would be a close game and the Bears would win it. And then, I mean, like 2 minutes into the game, I'm like, oh my God, this Ravens team's terrible. At halftime, you're just sitting there like, this is one of the worst games.
It was a bad football game.
That's a bad football. It was a great ending.
Right until the end when you had a little action, I'm just like, this is awful.
It's
awful. I looked over at my wife and she was taking a nap. And I was like, I wish I could be her right now.
I did. I complained to my wife. I said, I'm sitting through this. This is awful. I'm going to have to talk about this. Nothing's happened.
I know. Well, but to go back, you're right. So if I go back and look at San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and this team, and you match them up on paper, and you match them up, you know, what they could potentially do to them, you could see how you can make an argument they can win. And you can say, all right, if they put in this game plan, they execute this way, they're flawless, all that kind of stuff. They can win. They match up okay against these teams, but they find a way to lose, and that's what they're doing. That's how you get 6-game losing streaks. That's how you get 4-game losing streaks, and that's how you get this 5th-game losing streak. So that was a good call by Angry Matt. I appreciate that. My eyes just opened up a little differently.
Let's try Dave. Dave is in Wisconsin. Hey, Dave.
How are you doing?
We're all right.
Been better.
What happened on that last blowing coverage play on that was down at the goal line? How did that happen that he got so free? And if the Bears don't make the playoffs, what changes do you see happening? And Playoffs? Don't make the playoffs. What changes do you see happening during the offseason?
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, as far as the coverage, I don't know because we didn't get a really good view, and then Tony Romo didn't tell us, unfortunately. I think we'll get to know, and maybe we'll learn more once they talk to coaches and things like that to tell you exactly what happened. But it was just a blown coverage. I mean, if somebody's running that open and you see somebody trailing them and sprinting over there that late, there's a blown coverage. Somebody had a miscommunication, mistake somewhere, and that's inexcusable. That's twice in two. It's one time in the two game-winning drives last week and this week, and it's just you can't have that. Is that on Kendall Vildor? Who's that on? I have no idea, but it needs to be coached up. It needs to be corrected, or you find somebody else to put in there. And as far as they don't make the playoffs, I think the McCaskies and Ted Phillips gave us the answer. You got to replace Pace and Nagy. I think they gave us the answer to the test in the offseason, expecting improvement. And yeah, this is not improvement. 3-7, it's not improvement. Another five-game losing streak is and if they get another 6-1 and lose to Detroit, that's worse than last year's six-game losing streak. So I think the writing's on the wall right now because you put it out there. You put the equation out there. They need to be better than they were last year. We got to see progress. Well, what they do last year, they snuck in the playoffs. This year, they're supposed to get in, and it doesn't look like they're getting in at all, and they look a little worse than they did last year at this time.
So, you know, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen in that game since we don't even know who's lining up at this point, right? We'll have a better feel as we get closer to that game. But that's a winless team, Detroit. They do have a tie against Mason Rudolph filling in for Ben Roethlisberger the week after the Bears played those guys. Then you have Arizona here. Now, I don't know what their health situation is. Mm-hmm. You go to Green Bay, and then you're home again for Minnesota. So I think if you have a six-game losing streak, it's a good chance you have a 10-game losing streak. I'm not being mean-spirited about it. I'm just saying.
No, that's a fact, Mully. I agree with that. That's a fact. And I'd rather if I – I don't know if it's funny, but if I'm Matt Nagy, maybe I don't want to go – if you lose to Detroit, maybe I don't want to go into the rest of the season. Just say, oh, go ahead and fire me because I don't want to have a 10-game losing streak. Kind of being funny there, but you know.
No, I'm with
that's
you.
Just that. I mean, the writing's on the wall there. Then it's just done. It's over. You can't have that.
Right. Let's squeeze over in Steve. Steve's in St. Louis. Steve, you're on our post game show.
How are you? How are you guys? I love your show.
Bless you.
So those fire Nagy chants. I wasn't at the game. I didn't hear it when I was watching on the TV. But I wonder if the McCaskies even heard that, or they had already left.
I saw George and Virginia were there. They showed them during, you know, why would they leave with 2 minutes to go? Wouldn't they wait and then depart? So yeah, I think they heard it.
Yeah, I think they had to. I think normally they wait until like the stadium's clear, and then that's when they get out. They're in their little box up there and with their family, and they do their family thing. But they definitely heard it. I mean, I saw the Twitter videos. It was during the last series. So they were obviously there because they're not going to leave before if they get a chance to go down for the field goal. So they heard it. And then what also hurts and what really hurts is when the fans don't go to the game. There were some empty seats in the stadium I saw. At least it looked like that at the beginning of the game, kind of some of the corner section of the stadium. Hmm. And that's when it really hits. I mean, I know the tickets are paid for, but when you don't see people in the stadium, that's even worse.
Yeah, that's concession lines and going to the Bear store and buying your Christmas gear. That's all a big deal to ownership. So, all right, we're going to take another moment here. We'll be right back with your calls, 312-644-6767. The postgame show is sponsored by MalmedChicago.com, where a full head of hair scores every time you're listening to The Score.
You know, at the end of the game to – get a touchdown there to get the lead and put yourself in position to win the game. And, you know, it's unfortunate they were able to go down there and get a touchdown. And so that's basically the gist of it. A lot of stuff in between, but that's all that matters in the end.
We're back with more of The Score's post-game show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long-snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair scores every time.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. You heard the voice there of Matt Nagy. That was really unfortunate. I don't think there's any doubt. It's unfortunate you let a backup quarterback march 72 yards in five plays, and, you know, I can't think of a good one among the five. I can't think of anything the Bears did that you'd say, well, that was fortunate. Yeah, that's really, really unfortunate and just a damn pity that they lost that game.
It is, and I was just trying to put myself in that locker room right now. Like, what does he say to the guys?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, get them to believe? How do you get them going again? That's the hard thing. I mean, this is a game that should have been won, could have been won. This is two in a row that could have been won. There were heartbreaking losses at the end. This one to me is they outmanned the Ravens with Lamar Jackson out and should have won and put themselves in a position. But as a head coach, how do you talk to your team? What's that speech like at the end of the game? That's a hard one, and that's going to be a hard thing for him to come back from. The meetings tomorrow are going to be difficult to, confront the team and talk about. You know, maybe it's a good thing it's a short week because you get to right to Detroit. Like, that's what you're going right into that. So I was just trying to put myself in the locker room, and sometimes you look at the head coach and like, what the heck is he going to say? There's nothing really to say, and maybe that's what you tell the guys. Like, hey, I got nothing to say here. We're on to Detroit. Let's fix this thing for Detroit and see if we can get a win next week. Because that's a tough one. That's really tough.
Yeah, it's not altogether unsurprising, only that the Lamar Jackson issue came up, right? I mean, had Lamar Jackson been healthy and able to play, and we thought on Friday he took part in practice, we thought he was going to be ready to go, but whatever his illness is, he could not take the field. He did show up at the stadium, but he couldn't get on the field, so they went with a backup who, an undrafted free agent who had, what was it, 11 passes 11, previously in his career?
5 for 11.
Yeah, is that what it was? Okay.
It was 5 for 11,
well,
yeah.
So he's pretty good. help. 312-644-6767. Nate is in Addison. Hey, Nate.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a statement and then a question.
Sure.
I'm the guy, you remember me, I called in and said they're going to win 6 in a row. But yes. I was smart enough the next week to turn around and say they're going to win 5 in a row. Lose 5 in a row, including Detroit.
Did. Yes.
Including Detroit, because if a man can't prepare their team with a bye week, what are you going to do with 4 days or 3 days for Thanksgiving Day primetime game? I think Detroit's going to beat them, too. Now my question is this. Why do teams, and this might be more of a manly, why do teams seem like to cut off their nose to spite their face? And like what I'm saying, wouldn't it look nice with Jalen Rose and Fuller back there right now, somebody who's seeing all the defenses and can put people in the right position if Eddie Jackson is not out there, you got a veteran who's seen all. I mean, I don't know what they could have did to keep him, but they seen Jalen Johnson playing good. So they say, okay, we can let him go. We're not going to try. Just like with Alvin Robinson, they're going to say, he can go because Mooney is doing good, but Mooney is not a number one. He's probably a 1B right. or 1.
You mean Kyle like Fuller?
Yeah.
Kyle Fuller. Yeah.
Right. And so Mooney is like a 1. He's not big enough. I don't know why the Bears got this fetish for these small Johnny Knox, Bernard Berrien size receivers. That's not doable. If you make Mooney number one, he won't last a full year because he's going to get hurt. If he get targeted 15 times a game, he's not big enough and durable enough to be a number one.
So I'll go back to the Fuller point. I know he got benched in Denver, but I thought he was playing really well here. I thought he set the tone, too, in the run game, the way he hit. I thought he was a darn good corner here. I would have tried to have done everything I could to keep him. That's just me. I know him personally. He's a golf buddy of mine, but I just like the way he played. I like the way he carried himself. I like the way he turned into a real pro. And I do think he would help that defensive backfield. But the problem is you have so much money in other places. You know, you could have taken $7 million from Jimmy Graham and moved that over to him or something like that, whatever you take out of his contract from there. But there's a lot of other guys making money on that defense. And when you have that much money going to Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Robert Quinn, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, it's hard to spread that everywhere. And I do think he would have been very valuable for this defense, but – you know, you got to make your roster how you can with your money, and maybe you could have found out different ways to get that done. I would have liked that, but that's just, you know, that's my opinion about Kyle Fuller.
I'm glad you mentioned Robert Quinn because he had a couple sacks and he did okay for himself.
Yeah, he had a real good game. I just, you know, it's he was going against a backup tackle. So yes. Hopefully your guy that's making $70 million can do that against a backup tackle who was not getting a lot of chip help. But overall, he played a great game. I just love his hustle and how active he is, going after the ball, getting the forced fumble. Unfortunately, it went out of bounds.
Yes.
But, he's making some very athletic plays. Romo mentioned the one where he tackled the running back instead of taking the quarterback. And maybe, I don't know if that was his responsibility. It could have been, could not have been. And if it was for him to go to the quarterback, he made a great guess and an athletic move to tackle him. But he's playing at a high level, and it's just unfortunate you don't have Khalil Mack out there to demand double teams as well, and then Akeem Hicks on the other side.
A ton of money the field for the Bears. Yeah. I mean, ton of money. They have a lot invested in that defense, in that defensive front. You didn't get a chance to get those guys out there. Akeem is a big part of this. They could not effectively stop the run the entire game. I thought that Roquan Smith played his tail off, had a really good game. That was good to see. He's had a really good season. He's probably been as good as anyone on that defense. Robert Quinn has been very good. Mack is always a very dangerous player. It's a pity that you've lost him. But, as we've tried to balance it, they were without a lot too. And, your MVP quarterback, losing him is pretty difficult for any team to get over. The very fact that the Bears could find a way to lose that game, and it wasn't Lamar Jackson that tore him up. That, as you mentioned earlier, Patrick, that takes away that excuse, right?
Yep.
That just erases it. You can't sit there and say, "Oh well, Aaron Rodgers owns them, so of course they're going to lose the game." if it's Tyler Huntley that owns them, you got a problem.
Yes.
You got a serious, serious problem.
He owned them with a minute and 30 seconds to go in the game.
It was ridiculous. Oh, my God. It didn't help the 21-yard defensive pass interference, but nothing helped. I mean, every play was a train wreck.
100%. Molly, before we go to the callers real quick, you mentioned Roquan Smith. I guess he was total 17 tackles, 2 tackles for losses.
Wow.
And I'm sure that's going to go up with coaches' tackles. So he's probably got 20-plus tackles. And it looked like on just watching him, he had 20-plus tackles. And then Robert Quinn had 5 total tackles, 3.5 sacks he was credited with, and 3 tackles for losses.
Wow.
So if there's any bright point in the game, it's those two players. But like we said, the DBs had a horrible game, and that was the big part of the loss to me. But that's a pretty good game by Roquan Smith, and good to see Robert Quinn kind of redeeming himself after last year.
Let's try Bruce. Bruce is in Longdale. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. How's everything? Good day today, I've decided I'm not watching the Bears anymore, so that's easy. But Matt Nagy's poor choices, man. The Cleveland game, he could have put in Nick Foles. He couldn't have been any worse at halftime. The Tampa Bay game, he could have put in Andy Dalton, stopped the bleeding, And the Pittsburgh game, I watched the first quarter. They're down 14 points. So I started lifting weights, jumping rope. Come back the fourth quarter, looked like a pretty good game, But I am really disappointed that Matt Nagy had 2 weeks to prepare, and the offense looked so lackluster the first half, And I said, why am I watching this? But I just kept watching because I was like hypnotized, But today is the day. I mean, the guy said in 2019, he does not know their offensive identity. And if the coach doesn't know, who does, okay? There's nothing left. I mean, like, he's a nice guy, but there's nothing that he can say. I'm even wondering, what can he say to the team to get them to play, to keep playing for the rest of the year? As far as I'm concerned, play Nick Foles, and we can't do any worse. I want you guys to have a nice evening because you guys were fired up after the game. I'm not even angry because I'm not watching Thanksgiving. I got to let my food go down. You guys have a wonderful evening.
Bruce, that's a good point. I wonder how many people. Well, it depends what time you eat. I mean, if they lose like that, you're going to be sick for a while, so you might not have a dinner till the evening.
Gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
final ugly. Takeaway, Pat. Give me what is going to be your abiding takeaway from this game.
I'm going to evaluate the team differently. Angry Matt gave me a great idea that, you know, he saw it coming from a mile away, and I've got to start being honest about this team that they continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over. And guys just aren't producing, and they're not getting it done. I think we got maybe a little blinded by Justin Fields' growth, and we were, you know, all excited about that, and we weren't looking at everything else of how bad the DBs were. These penalties that keep happening, poor clock management by Matt Nagy. Again, they should have had two timeouts going in to the final, 22, 25 seconds to get into field goal range, but he messed up with clock management and situational football. So I think my eyes have just opened up more to truly who this team is, and I'm going to evaluate them that way instead of trying to find a way to win each week. I'm just going to have to put that into the equation when I'm evaluating these guys, that you're going to have to spec dumb penalties. You're going to have to spec, burning or just bad situational football, burning a timeout, and just, you know, poor DB play. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. It's just the worst loss of the year. I'm just going to call it 100%. The worst loss of the year.
Yep.
It would have been that it might have been that regardless of what happened. The timing of that, the way the defense played, I'm with our final caller there. Maybe we need to just concentrate on our dinner and worry about Thanksgiving. But we'll be watching. All right. The post show, Patrick, I will talk to you again on Thursday morning. We will be back for the pregame show. Thanks everyone for listening to us and well appreciated. Make sure you stay tuned. We've got Olin and Anthony Heron joining the Score next for the post-game show. Thanks again, as always, for listening. This has been the postgame, sponsored by MelMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair scores every time. Thank you to Brandon for his great work. Really appreciate that, Brandon Fryer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.